Hare Rama. Yeah. Krishna. I have a little request. Can I ask Govinda and Ananta Gauranga to just take this seat? I like to sit there for today at least. No, this. It feels as very good. No problem. No problem. Was denn? Oh ja, danke. What happens when your heart is touched? You want to come down. You don't want to sit so high. And also, yes, I'm a beggar sitting somewhere at the bottom of this staircase. And begging to be taken across the bridge, so it feels just much better to sit like this. I want to welcome all of you for this Nityananda Trayodashi. It is a great pleasure to see you, and I want to address also the devotees who are with us on the internet today. I know there are devotees in Vrindavan watching Hare Krishna, and wherever they are, we still expect a devotee from Canada to arrive. I hope they are able to see us on the internet. They must be delayed somewhere with the airplanes. It's a great pleasure to be with all of you on a day which is so significant in many, many ways. Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is a very strong devotee of Lord Nityananda, has written about his Lord in an ashtakam, a prayer, where he says that Lord Nityananda is the root of the tree of Krishna Bhakti. You understand devotion to Krishna like a tree, then you understand that the fruit of the tree is love of Godhead. Now the root for this tree, from where this mystical tree grows, is according to Vrindavan Das Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, the root of this tree is Lord Nityananda. From him all Krishna Bhakti and love of Godhead comes. When you look at a tree, you always must know that there is some invisible thing which causes the tree. Of course it's the seed, but also the roots, who are often hidden under the earth. So in much the same way, Lord Nityananda is a very hidden truth. A very if Lord Chaitanya is a Channa avatar, then Lord Nityananda is the Channa avatar. I'm making this up. I didn't find it anywhere in the scriptures, but he is more hidden, more secret, more let me say more wonderful. No, not wonderful. More, yes, more difficult to comprehend than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This evening, in the Nityananda Katha, I hope to show this, because yesterday some devotees commented, "Wow, this was really bringing a deeper understanding of Lord Nityananda." But it was only the foundation for what is going to, what we are going to hear and see this evening. When Krishna steps one step to the side, he is Balaram. They are identical, but they are different at the same time. In the same way, the two brothers, Gauranga and Nityananda, are identical. They are Krishna and Balaram, but they are also slightly acting slightly different from each other. If Gauranga is the mercy incarnation, then Lord Nityananda is the mercy incarnation. Or if Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation, then Lord Nityananda is the most merciful incarnation. And in his pastimes of delivering Jaga and Madai, this is forever established to the world. But as we started yesterday in the Bhagavatam class, to understand Lord Nityananda, even to understand Chaitanya or something of Krishna, is only possible through one practice. The practice of taking shelter, or sharanagati. Sharanagati is the word is sharana, shelter, and gati means to go. Sharanagati, translated into our language, is something else really than surrender, although for practical language things we use the word. But sharanagati literally means to approach someone for shelter. It means to walk towards someone, to come closer to someone, step by step, to find shelter. This implies that Sharanagati is not a sudden, abrupt thing, as implied in the word surrender. You must do this now, Shrishtikata, or you are lost. But Sharanagati means, I wanted to greet you affectionately, but Sharanagati means it's a gradual approach. We may not be able to surrender at this moment entirely, because we do have still some inner work to do before this is possible. But we can make the first steps in Sharanagati and thus come closer to this dream, not dream, this ideal, where we will one day hopefully cross over the mountain of false ego and leave it behind entirely, completely, nothing left of it. This, my dear devotees, is something which requires a deeper understanding of Sharanagati than the understanding which is conferred in the English word surrender, which means a sudden thing, as we see in the usage of the term to surrender as to an opponent or an enemy. It's when in war zones people realize they have no other chance and they take whatever white cloth they can find and stop, or in kickboxing when you really are down on the earth, you go, which means this is the end, I surrender. It's a sudden, abrupt thing, but the art of Sharanagati is a gradual process whereby you need to know the gradual steps to take towards this end. And I would like to start today, after establishing yesterday the foundations, to speak about what we could consider the art of surrender, because it's a very, very important day today. It's a blessed day where hopefully we can stop thinking surrender is a difficult word in my life, but we can start thinking what steps of Sharanagati can I take at this moment of my life to come closer to this bridge to the kingdom of God, or as some musicians would say, the stairways to heaven. For today, it is written, I can't see from here, it's a good Eva, yes, very good. Can someone please tell me Chaitanya. Thank you. 52. Sakrit Eva Vapanoya Tavasmiti Sayachate Abayam Sabada Tasmai Dadam Yeta Vatamama Sakrat Eva Prapanova Tavasmiti Chayachate Abhayam Sarvada Tasmai Dadam Yetat Vratam Mama Yes?
Sakrit Eva Prapannoyas
Sakrit Eva Prapannoyas
Tavasmiti Chayachate
Tavasmiti Chayachate
Abhayam Sarvada Tasmai
Abhayam Sarvada Tasmai
Dadam Yetat Vratam Mama
Dadam Yetat Vratam Mama.
Maybe a Mataji could chant that we have.
Sakriteva Prapanoyas Tavasmiti Chayachate Abhayam Sarvada Tasmai
Dadam Yetat Vratam Mama
Sakrit. Once only. Eva. Certainly. Prapanaha. Surrendered. Yaha.
Anyone who.
Tava. Yours.
Asmi.
I am.
Iti.
Thus. Cha also
Yachate
praise
Abhayam
fearlessness
Saravada
always
Tasamai
unto him
Dadami
I give
Eta
this
Bratam
Vau
Mama
my. Translation. It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and praise to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So here we find a promise, a very sweet promise by the Lord to all those who make this step, where they say, My dear Lord, from this day I am yours. And where they look for the Lord for help, because it's a bold step. And the Lord says, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale
Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Acharya Krishnatayine.
Now, before we can make the step, we will have to confront something in our heart, the ego, who doesn't want to surrender to Krishna. We have turned away from Krishna. It's exactly the one thing which we do not like to do. That's why we're in this world. But someone on whom some good fortune has dawned, he will enter what is called mixed devotional service. He will try to enjoy this world, but also give service for Krishna. This is maybe the situation of many of us in the audience. You know, we understand, I think I should go to the Lord. He's the best. He's wonderful. And I feel somehow in my heart a desire. I think of him. But as of yet, I have also some things I wish to do in this world. I like to enjoy a little, just a little independence. And Krishna is well aware about this, and there is a verse which is coming right after this in this section. Krishna is speaking about this. He says, if one engages in my transcendent and loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he's very, very foolish. Indeed, he's just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this poor material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. So take note of this. Krishna feels sorry for such a mixed devotee who has mixed emotions, really. He understands, but he feels sorry. Now, he doesn't reject such a devotee. He accepts his service, and as we will find out, he gives the devotee more and more taste or ruchi in devotional service, so that finally the devotee has felt so much taste in the process of devotional service that it's very easy for him to give up the lower taste of material enjoyment and fully surrender to the Lord and no longer be mixed. Prabhupada speaks about this. Those who are interested in material enjoyment are known as bhukti kami. Although the person may be foolish, Krishna, being all intelligent, engages him in his devotional service in such a way that he gradually forgets material opulence. Gradually. The point is, then we should not try to exchange loving service for material prosperity. I'm just looking. It's a good plan. Yes. If we are actually surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, our only desire should be to satisfy Krishna. That is pure Krishna consciousness. Surrender means not that we demand something from the Lord, but that we completely depend on His mercy. If Krishna likes, He may keep His devotee in a poverty-stricken condition. Or if He likes, He may keep him in an opulent position. The devotee should not be concerned in either case. He should simply be very serious about trying to satisfy the Lord by rendering Him service. I would like your attention really to go on this point, that the Lord knows our difficulties with this word sharanagati or surrender. He knows that we are a divided soul who wants Krishna, but who wants also material, something of this world, position, fame, maybe subtle enjoyment, and sometimes the condition so wants gross enjoyment, good movie, or a good. We don't have to give examples. You all know what I mean. So Krishna knows this, but He encourages us that we should still approach Him. We should not turn away from Him. We should come. We should approach Him, and gradually, He, being very intelligent, He gives us something in devotional service so that we can stay. For instance, like the child. The child is bored with the lecture because it's little small still. I will soon tell a story, and then I will say, now it's time for you to listen. But the parents know that the child would not come to the lecture. We have to give him a toy. We have to let him paint a little. Then at least the child sits in the lecture and hears something, some Krishna consciousness. And after some time, it will only want the lecture and no longer the toys. This is practical. It is. I want to give practical examples that you know what we speak about. We are like those children. We are bored in pure Krishna consciousness. We don't want this. It's the problem. Oh no, it's not my level. Oh no, no. So Krishna gives us a few toys, but so that we keep stay in devotional service. After some time, the toys go, and we are only with the pure devotional service. That's His mercy. That is His kindness. And definitely, you are very much invited, but not nice. Yes, but everything, paint like you never painted before. It's good, good, but just silent. So in other words, it's a gradual process, and we need to know where we stand in this process, what are our next stages in this process, and how we can get courage to make the next step which brings us closer to Krishna. Now this process of Sharanagati starts not directly with the Lord. It starts, if you know the art, with surrendering or connecting with this, the things which are close to the Lord. It's called in Sanskrit tadiya, something which is Krishna's, which is close. these are devotees. It also can mean the tulsi. It can mean the temple, the paraphernalia of the Lord. We contact the Lord there. We, with our mixed emotions, cannot directly enter easily into the association of the Lord, because we stand before him with this, I want you and I don't want you at the same time. It's a mixed emotion. What would you do with a person who says, I like you and I hate you? Be clear what you want. Stay a little in the distance. We don't. Later we can have association, maybe if you wish. No? So we start with the tadiya, with those who are close. We cannot yet have a very personal rasa, an exchange with the Lord. And this tadiya starts with the, we have to approach the devotees of the Lord. They are closest to the Lord. In the 19th chapter of the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, this Madbhakta Puja Bhyadika, it means the worship of my devotee is even greater than my own worship. The Lord refers us to his devotees, say, Gesatya, this is more important for you. What happens when one associates maturely with devotees? It means one can destroy one's attachment for the objects of material sense gratification, because in that association we are engaged in kirtan and in hearing about Krishna, and it purifies the heart. Many devotees have made the experience, if they stay in the company of devotees and do what devotees do, like we did in Radhadish for almost four complete days, we chanted. Afterwards, the heart is different. You go to bed and you hear in your night the Hare Krishna mantra echoing in you. It happens in the objects of material sense gratification is taken away just by because the devotees are engaging with Krishna by doing Shravanam and Kirtanam. That is what purifies the heart. Then the next thing which happens is when Krishna sees, wow, he is someone who is purified in the association of my devotee, he becomes attracted to that person and he does no longer keep himself in the distance. In fact, it is said it brings him under control. It means it binds him with a rope of love. He's pulled there. The various other processes do not achieve this. Various spiritual processes like austerity, meditation, visiting holy places, giving charity. It doesn't bring the Lord under control. It doesn't bind him. He sees it's nice that he does some pious work, but the moment someone enters into the association of his devotees and humbly and genuinely associates with them in the process of Shravanam Kirtana, Krishna becomes bound. In fact, there is a verse by Sanatana Goswami. He says, when someone meditates about you, it's like... when someone hears about you, you become bound to the person a little bit, as if you're bound with a thin thread, like this, no? Very thin. But you sever this thread, you tear yourself away very quickly. That happens when yes, but when someone meditates about you, it's as if you're bound with a, this is a holy thing, with a rope, but you also take away yourself. This is what yogis or meditators know. For some time, they may feel close to the Lord, but then this one spaces out and loses it all. But when one hears, when one is with devotees and engages in kirtan, the loud glorification of you, you become bound as if bound with an iron chain. And you can't, you Krishna can sever this also, cut it, but he doesn't want to. So this is the two effects which Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavatam. Associating with devotees and surrendering to this helps you to leave your attachment to sense objects. But I warn you, my devotees, when you come into the devotional association, leave your ego behind. If you bring it and you want to nourish it, your own plan, well, then there is trouble in the association also. Can be, at least. When I was a child, I liked Western movies very much. You know, cowboys shooting and so on. And I remember they had this, there was always this reoccurring team, they had this saloon where the farmers would meet, and there would be a rule: before you can enter this meeting place, you have to put your guns away and put them in a safe before, so that there would be nothing to disturb the peace in the assembly. No? That was the idea. And they would deposit them, then you would go without your weapons into the assembly of the other farmers and drink not only lemonade, but Western movie, but you know, there would be a meeting with good spirits. I admit the example is just an analogy. So when you come in the association devotees, be careful with the ego. They are in the assembly of devotees. There are many ego problems, and it is always the same thing. They forgot to deposit the weapons at the entry, and then they have it, and there's some difference of opinion, and immediately, boom, they take it out, and then there is problem and smoke, and wounds, and disappointment, and everything. So Krishna in the Bhagavatam gives many examples of the power of devotee association. For instance, he says that the Gajendra who met him had in his previous life the association of devotees. Or in the Damodar Lila, the twin Arjuna trees. Diese Gäste bitte, heißt das Fenster bitte öffnen. Ne? Also so. Ach so, oh gut. Ja. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. The twin Arjuna, they were two fallen demigods who had engaged in very materialistic activities, but then got association of Narada Muni and the blessing to meet Lord Krishna. And they met Lord Krishna by the mercy of Narada Muni. Now, you know this pastime. We had heard it in the month of Kartik in detail. If you want to know the art of approaching Krishna, start with the devotees. Do not shy away from the devotees. When Maya comes, it will put you many material perspective of devotees. You will think, oh, they are so ordinary. They don't belong to my social group. I would never have associated with such people before. and just different, and so on. Oh, you would see, oh, look at the ISKCON movement, look at all the politics, I'm tired of it, goodbye sunshine, and so on. This is, yes, these problems are there because sometimes devotees don't deposit their weapons. But simultaneously, there is something wonderful going on. Hearing about Krishna, hearing about Lord Nityananda, of Lord Chaitanya. Come maybe to those events where you are sure you will be nourished in your spiritual life. You will, you, like Radha Deshmelos, or we hope the organizers of this festival, Nityananda Trayodashi, where you can hear about Lord Nityananda's amazing pastime. It will be in the evening. So that you are nourished. Don't, please see it as a sign of Maya when you don't wish to make the first steps in the art of Sharanagati or approaching the Lord for shelter. It's Maya who will even spit on you and try to make your mind doubtful and so on and so forth. Now it is said by Jiva Goswami, remember we are studying the art of surrender, what can we do, that the greatest amongst the devotees for us is one's own guru. Therefore, Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandhava says, surrender to the guru is most important in this process of approaching the Lord. He says there are three results if you approach your guru for shelter. First is you will get a taste of what is Krishna Bhakti. You will taste this flavor. What is this thing? Because your spiritual master is cultivating Krishna Bhakti. That's the first thing. You get a taste of a specific flavor of love which you need. The second result he mentions in approaching the guru is the obstacles in your life which you mention, which you have, are removed. I don't have the time here, but there's a beautiful passage on this in the Bhagavatam, and those of you who like to read the Bhagavatam, please take a note. It's in the seventh canto, 15th chapter, verses 22 to 25. There are many obstacles, like lust is mentioned, the obstacle of tendencies for sense gratifications. I'm now with my mind on another subject that I can't remember, but a long list of obstacles is given. But like anger here, greed, fear, illusion, the whole thing. And then it says, a person can easily conquer all these obstacles by devotion to his or her guru. And my dear devotees, maybe this is the magic of our movement in the beginning stages. The climate in ISKCON at that time was pervaded with devotion to Srila Prabhupada. It was so outstanding and so remarkable, because when we met him, he drew that best part out of us. It is when you saw him, you because he was there, you know, he had gone this bridge and he had come back to save us. And you could feel that. He was really a different being, like Prabhupada speaks about his own spiritual master. He said, he is, what can I say about him? He's a Vaikuntha man. He's from there. He's not from here. And when we were in Prabhupada's association, when Prabhupada was with us, our movement was just, wow, we would do anything for Prabhupada. And it worked somehow, because we had so much devotion and we overcame obstacles. It doesn't mean we were very advanced. We were terrible. Ooh, we did things, you know, this is beyond laughing. It's so crazy, you know. It's so crazy. But this one thing was there, devotion to the Guru. And it was very strong there. And therefore, it was successful. Not because of us, but despite of us. I take this very... I know I'm not liked by some of my God brothers for this, but I know what we were. I have discussed that. I was part of it, and I know what it was. It was not working because we were so glorious. It was because Srila Prabhupada, we had devotion to Prabhupada. We were connected to him through this devotion, and therefore we were his, and he was proud of us for this, and it worked. But it was his Shakti which imbued us, and I believe all of us would agree to this. But I just like to talk a little controversially, and therefore I say we were not successful because of us, but despite of us, because of that connection. But this is what the Shastra says: the obstacles are removed by if you can surrender to the Guru, and that we really did. I mean, it was really wonderful, the examples. And therefore it is said the third result is devotion to the Guru embodies all devotion. The Agama scriptures which Jiva Goswami quotes says, just as by contact with processed mercury, it's a metal, copper turns into gold, a disciple is awakened to the divine nature by association with his guru. So this is an alchemical example. You take one thing and you bring an ordinary metal to it, and then boom, it comes into gold. So in the same way, if there is a pure soul and you come in contact with him and you have devotion to him, you should not be distanced, then you will change and you will blossom and you will become a flourishing lotus. You will really change. This is Jiva Goswami's point, and I saw it happening during the time of Srila Prabhupada, and I see also that devotees who are surrendered to their gurus, that they experience a change in their lives. They are becoming all of a sudden they do things they thought it's not possible for them to do, and they are encouraged and inspired enough to conquer their inner obstacles. This anyone can see, because the way we can understand it is, it works by what is called parampara, the idea that one comes after the other, and the potency of the lineage, or lineage means sampradaya, how do we say it? Guru Sampradaya, what is our succession? Disciplic succession, thank you. Disciplic succession. It works there. It's the transformative power of the Lord. Therefore, Krishna says, I, the Supreme Soul in all beings, am not as pleased with the householder's daily performance of Vedic sacrifice, nor with the student's acceptance of the sacred thread in the study of the Vedas, nor am I pleased with so much with the penances of those who retire to the forest, nor am I pleased so much by the detachment of the sannyasis as I am with the service rendered by a disciple to his teacher. Krishna accepts those who come with devotion to their spiritual master. That's what he says in the 10th canto, in the chapter where he himself became a student of a guru who? Sandivani Muni, yes. There he says, this is the process. I myself like if someone is devoted to their spiritual master. So, where are we? We are discussing the art of surrender. We are discussing that the approach should be done through the devotees. We should look for devotee association, and then we will mark out one of the devotees from which we will learn, and that is becomes our spiritual master. And in this way we start to approach the Lord for shelter. Guru Bhakti is synonymous, when it's done not as a personality cult, to Krishna Bhakti. This is the idea. We have written an article about this. If you like to read, you can give your email address to Himanshu. He has edited this article from different lectures, and we have written a little thing, little extras to this article, so he can send you on the email later, not now. So if you want to practice Sharanagati, you must do two things in your mind, you must do two things in your intelligence, and you must do two things with your ego, your sense of identity. And we will talk about this. But I want to first say, because some of you were not there yesterday, and most of you have forgotten what was yesterday discussed, most probably, as I know you. I want to say again, we Westerners have a problem with the word surrender, because the word carries a cultural baggage. It is used in a certain context in the language, and this context carries a meaning which is not identical with what Sharanagati means. I gave you yesterday an example. In old days, you would say how a word can carry a meaning which is not really intended. In the old days, you would say it's a gay day. Means it's a happy day, a festive day. But now, if you say it's a gay day, you think of a parade of homosexual people who have announced it as a gay parade. There are these parades, they are announced with this and registered by the police like this. So this is an example how one word can carry a meaning, and originally, I do not wish to pass a comment about whether it is good to be this way attached or that way attached. That is not the purpose of this lecture. The idea is a word can carry meanings which are not intended originally. Originally, the word meant festive, and did not have a connotation with a sexual preference. It did not have this. So the word surrender nowadays carries a meaning which is bad. Therefore, I asked yesterday, is surrender really such a bad word? Because many devotees in our movement are shying away when they hear this word. It reminds them of something they don't want to do, that is to submit to someone or something which is not good for their interest, like surrendering to an enemy. Surrender is not an abrupt process in spiritual life. It is something which develops gradually. You will find this in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna there, Arjuna there, comes to Krishna and says in the second chapter, "I'm totally confused. I feel very weak inside and I lost my composure. I don't really know any longer what to do. Therefore, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to tell me what is best for me. Now I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me." And then he's silent for a moment. Krishna smiles, or he wants to become a disciple. And then Arjuna speaks two verses later about that he said it, he wants it, but there's one thing. Please don't ask me for this one thing. He says, Krishna, I'm ready to surrender, but partially. And then he bluntly tells him, "Govinda, I shall not fight." This is not full surrender. He is approaching Krishna for surrender in his mind. He wants to do it. He sees this is the best for me. But he's not yet able. He says, "Ask me for anything, but not to fight in this war." Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a gradual process. This you're surprised, but it's in the Gita. And in case you think I'm speculating, these are the verses. It's in verse 2:7. He says, second chapter, seventh verse, "Now I'm your disciple and the soul surrendered unto me." In verse 2:9, it's two verses later, he says, "Govinda, I shall not fight." Everything but not this. He is like all of us, conditioned, partial surrender. No problem if you know the art of surrender, how you can leave slowly that hesitation behind. And this is very, very nicely described in one great Jiva Goswami, sorry, I want to be very precise here. In the Bhaktisandhava, Jiva Goswami says, "Those who surrender is complete in every respect will very swiftly means fast, quick, schnell, attain the full result of that surrender. Those who surrender is not complete, but is deficient in some aspects, will attain the result in accordance with the actual degree of surrender." In other words, partial surrender is also workings. There will be results and it will be increasing until you are getting prema bhakti. One individual who does the journey from partial surrender to full surrender is Vibhishan. And I want us to study this example, because most probably it will be our journey also in the path of Sharanagati. Vibhishan had three other siblings heißt Geschwister, two brothers and one sister. Their father was an exalted soul, and at the beginning of creation they got an interview, an audience with Lord Brahma. And Brahma asked them, "I want you to ask me for a boon." So Ravana, the oldest, said, "I wish to become unslayable. No demigod should kill me. No Gandhava, no Kinnara should be able to kill me." He thought he was so strong that he thought, "It's really beyond my dignity to ask that no human being should kill me." And Brahma smiled and said, "Tathastu." He knew Ram would fear, Vishnu would take a human form. Then Kumbhakarna, who was extremely strong, he was born from the Rakshasa race, was very strong. He raised his body and all the devatas trembled. Kumbhakarna said, "I want to become Nitya." Nitya means eternal. So when he said, as he said, "I want to become Goddess Sarasvati," and this is for the child. The child, sorry. Goddess Sarasvati came and in his tongue, so he could not say, "I want to become Nitya." He said, "I want to become Nidra." Nidra means sleeping. So therefore, Brahma smiled, "This works good." That has to. Therefore, Kumbhakarna slept 6 months out of a year. One stop. No one of you can do this. He slept, and therefore he was not a reliable warrior. He went to sleep and was out. Yes. Sopanak was also a Rakshasi. She was a woman, and women like to very, very, very much like to look beautiful. When they are fat, they want to look. So she said, "Can I please shape? Can I take on any shape which I like?" So though she looked bad, you know, with fangs, ears and everything out of place, she could turn into the most alluring woman because she had this boon. Then Brahma said, "And Vibhishan, what do you wish?" And Vibhishan in his mind understood, they asked for materialistic boons, my brothers and sisters. This is not very good. This is not the purpose of our existence. And he said, "I want to have devotion to the Lord." "Tathastu," said Brahma. So here Brahma, and here Vibhishan, does the first step in Sharanagati. In his mind, he wants the right thing. Jai Gopal is sleepless. We can get some oxygen for Jai Gopal. You also made a change. Maybe you also asked him. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. Because it's very important now. We need to understand. So he had mentally accepted, I want to become a devotee, but he stayed now for a long time in a bad association. He went back to with his brother Ravan, who became the prince of evil, the lord of darkness. You know, the most evil monster the world has ever seen, with 10 heads. He saw how his brother did everything. He had a harem full with the beautiful Apsaras, the Gandharvas, the Kinnaras, because remember, he was unconquerable. He even fought with Indra and defeated him. He saw how his brother Ravan did all the atrocities one can do. And one day Ravan toppled it. He kidnapped Sita and Vibhishan he has gone too far. And he went to Ravan and said, you have invited death in your kingdom. This is the personal associate of Lord Rama, and you dare to kidnap him. Now you will be slain. Ravan looked at him and said, a person who turns against his own brother. There is no person who is more evil than him, because he is so ungrateful. Have you forgotten all I did for you? All you are is because of me. You are a traitor. Traitor is verräter. I throw you out. Go. Vibhishan said, now I can do the second step in Sharanagati. I have accepted what is favorable. Now I will accept what is unfavorable for devotion. I will give up the bad company of my demon brother. And he went out of the court of Ravan, out of Lanka. And the moment he went out, he lifted up in the sky. He felt very, very light. This is what happens when in your mind you accept first what is good and then you reject what is unfavorable for your devotion. And you all know it. You feel light. And he went across the ocean because he was now ready to do things which you do with the intelligence. Vibhishan went over the ocean. Where on the bank of the ocean, who was there? Ram. With whom else, Jai Gopal? Lakshman, Hanuman, Sugriva, Angada. Jatayu had already done his sacrifice for Lord Ram. He was not there. Neela was there. Jambavan, someone says. You said. You know everything. Jambavan was there. Who met Krishna later. No? He was one of the Chiranjeevs, that means those who don't die, very long life. So Vibhishan was now ready to ask the Lord for protection and surrender to him. He approached Lord Ram, who had set up his camp on the mainland. And when he came through the air, Sugriva and the other associates, they said, look at this, a demon is coming. Because Bibisan was also from the Rakshasa race. But he was a devotee. They are devotee Rakshasas. It's a race, you know. So he was coming with four of his ministers, four servants were coming with him. And Sugriva said, kill him, it's a spy which came from the prince of evil, the king of evil, that's Ravan. What do you think, Hanuman? And Hanuman looked at Vibhishan and said, from his outer appearance, he's a demon. Look at his teeth. Look at his ears. But in his eyes, I see devotion to Ram. Let him go. Vibhishan went to Ram and he threw himself on the ground. And it was at this moment where Ram pronounced this verse, which I would like to chant with you again. Everyone together. Sakriteva prapanoyas davasmiti chayashade avayamyam savada tasmai dadamyeta pradhammama. Wonderful. It is my vow. Listen all, Angada, Sugriva, Hanuman. It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time onwards. When Sugriva heard this, the king of the Vanaras, Angada, Nila, Jambavan, they broke down crying, because they now understood the nature of Lord Ram. They now understood his full glories. They understood the mercy that even if someone only once, the word is only once, sakrit means only once, one time, sincerely, seriously, from his heart says, my Lord, from this day I am yours. He may be imperfect, but he says it, he means it. It comes by his intelligence. He, not only with the mind, he has an inclination like this. He with his intelligence says, my Lord, this is my protector. Like Vibhishan, he left Ravan and his camp. He accepted, he was without a protector, he was on his own now. If some Rakshasa would meet him, he could kill him. If he wanted, he was ein Vogelfeier, we say in German. But he surrendered now accepted Ram as protector. And then then comes the second stage, the fourth stage, Goptritve Varanam. It means one accepts the Lord as one's guardian or master. It's just like the parents are the guardian. Guardian in German is something like the Wächter oder Versorger of the child. So in the same way, if you accept the Lord as the guardian, your maintainer, that is the fourth step in surrender. Jiva Goswami says, that to accept the Lord as your guardian or master is the angi, the whole, whereas the other things like accepting what is favorable for devotion, accepting what is and rejecting what is unfavorable, accepting the Lord as the protector, and then self-surrender and humility. These are the angas. Angi means it's the whole, accepting the Lord as your maintainer, and the other practices are limbs which come. It's almost like this is the body, and my fingers and my hands and my arms, my legs and so on are the limbs of the body. So Jivas Goswami says the act of electing a guardian capable of offering nourishment and protection is synonymous with Charanagati, or approaching one for shelter. The other five items are angas or parts because they are assistants of this principle. If you are a little simple and cannot remember many things, this is the main item of the Charanagati process. My Lord, you are my, I'm yours, like a child who goes to the parents. I'm yours, and you are my maintainer, and you are my everything. I depend on you. I have no other shelter to go than to you. The fifth stations, the fifth point and the sixth point that you must do with your ego, I will be fast on this. You must, Vibhisan threw himself to the ground. He understood, I'm no longer independent. I'm only dependent on Lord Ram. And Prabhupada says the devotee who accepts self-surrender is completely dependent on Krishna. He acts and thinks only as Krishna desires. That's a high level. It's done with the ego. And the last point which is done with the ego is absolute humility. We all have difficulties with humility because our ego is not yet surrendered. We brought it with us, the weapons, and there is war of volcanic dimensions, ego wars, and it's very disturbing in the assembly of Vaishnavas, but it is unavoidable for those who are young in the art of surrender, and so on. It's everywhere in our movement, everywhere, not just in certain geographic areas. It's everywhere because it is a high level. The devotee is meek and humble on this level and totally detached from his false ego. It's high, but it's even if this cannot be done, the process of devotion is a gradual process. It should be done. I have many more things, but I see that the attention is, you listened to a lot today, and you were very, very concentrated. I'm very thankful to you. It was easy to give this somewhat, let me say, this lecture on these difficult subjects. I want to give you a summary in, let me try with three sentences. Surrender starts in the association of the devotees, where you pick one as your guru and learn to act with him. Then, from there, you enter a path, a gradual path of surrender, where you first accept in your mind, then with your intelligence, and finally with your ego. These were only two sentences. This is what I wanted to say. Hare Krishna. Finished. So I have talked about this. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you could understand that surrender is not a bad word, but it's a good word. And I hope you have become motivated to also give your best to walk this path, which will bring you ultimately into the kingdom of God. By this path, you will cross the border in your heart, which is there between the material dimension and the spiritual dimension. It's not just in a river which flows between the material universes and the spiritual ones. The river of Viraja flows right into your heart. And you have to decide, on what side will I be? There is a bridge offered to us by our glorious Sampradaya, and an invitation by a person who is drunken, who does not see if you're fit or unfit. He said, go, go, go. It's Lord Nityananda, who is very, very merciful, who has this kind disposition, as we will hear in the evening, to see the little good, the little sincerity, the little eagerness, and then he says, go, 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 don't stop where you are, continue. This is very nice. Thank you very much. Do you have questions? I see Konya Bihari, Ananta Gauranga, Purushottam Krishna. Du musst jetzt die Frage auf drei Sätze reduzieren, denk mal nach, du hast ein bisschen Zeit. The devotee with a beautiful name. You can tell me later. Yes. Yeah, from here we are.
I think for surrender we need some faith, and the question is how to get the faith. Is it sufficient to just go step by step and see how it works and take one step more, or is there more how we can get the faith?
Have you understood the question? Konya Bihari, I would like you to exchange the word surrender with which you associate different fears with the word approaching the Lord for shelter. You need to do this consciously because you are misinformed by a wrong understanding of surrender, because that is, the word means something in the modern language which it doesn't mean in the Sanskrit. This is the first thing I want to say. To approach someone for shelter is something which is the natural inclination. There is nothing more natural. There's nothing in which we have more faith than in doing this. When it rains, we run to a rain shelter. When we are in the ocean and we begin to, the problems start with the waves, and there is a we want to go to the land again because we know, oh, this is dangerous. Let's get out of the ocean here and approach the land for shelter. It's the most natural thing for us to do. Now, we are unfortunately in an unnatural atmosphere, and therefore the most natural thing has become very unnatural, and we have to overcome 1,000 doubts in our mind. You're right. So I have said this much. So you are right, Konya Vihari. Sharanagati is only possible for someone who has shelter. Who has Shraddha, faith. Therefore, Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha says, Shraddha is synonymous with Sharanagati. If you have Shraddha, you will take shelter. And if you take shelter, you must have Shraddha. Those who are not convinced of Krishna's mercy and of Krishna's potency will not be able to surrender. They don't do. Therefore, you will not be able to practice Sharanagati. I will now make the change. Therefore, you need to increase your Shraddha. That's totally true. And the Shraddha is increased passively and actively. Passively, it is increased when you read the Bhakti Shastras, then you hear something, but the Shastras don't preach really to you. I mean, they don't. It's not that all of a sudden you get a finger out of the scripture and say, hey, you are meant. Sometimes we feel it though, isn't it? But it's still passive. The devotees teach it actively. Therefore, some don't like preachers. Because, yes, they are active. And they bring this. The spiritual subject up in front, and you are confronted with it, and you have to think about it. So yes, Shraddha is the prerequisite, die Voraussetzung for Sharanagati, for the path of Sharanagati, and that's why those who do not have Shraddha in Krishna do not practice Sharanagati to Krishna, but they take what is said in Sanskrit, durashaya, false shelters in the material world. False because they're temporary. They work for some time and then they disintegrate these shelters. So Shraddha is really the needs to be increased. Yesterday I talked to a devotee from an exotic place called Lithuania. I'm yet to find it on the map, but it is there apparently. And this devotee said he works on translating a book about modern saints, where he has where there are different devotees in the book, which by their life show us, my God, it works. They have taken to the path of Sharanagati. And I'm really thinking when I finish this Bhakti way, and it comes to good, it works really good. It's very close to a completion. And it's really very nice. I'm very surprised that it came out much better than I could ever write it. Then I think I had to do a book on Shraddha, where you just invite modern saints, not just the old ones, people like you and me who did the step and to whom Krishna responded in kind, you know, and that would give us faith. But faith is very, very important. Good. Who was next? I forgot. Ananta Gauranga, our man. Yes.
In regard to this point about faith, by having faith in faith in the process of surrender, it's recommended to associate with one who has faith.
Yes.
So we may be coming to the lectures for many, many years and still not have the inclination to surrender. So my question is, how is the best way to associate with one who has faith? Is so that we get this faith very quickly?
Wonderful question, wonderful question. Yeah. What Ananta Gauranga says is true. Everything is so easy in association. And also the leap of faith. It's sometimes leap, you know. I remember a very graphic example. You will, those who are from the coastal areas will like it. In Croatia, we had one summer camp, Premantura it was called. There was it was beautiful. It was right on the banks of the Adria. Now no one can pay such a location, but it was there are some locations in Croatia which still are very good. The island of Iš, for instance. But we had it in Premantura, and then you would, and then there was nearby there was a cliff. A high cliff, very high cliff, and you could go to the cliff and then skričete, you could jump into the ocean. It was really high, and I remember I'm not so acrobatic by nature, a little acrobatic, but not really very first class acrobatic. I remember I went there and then some acrobatic devotees jumped in and said, I cannot do this. I went close to the cliff, the edge of the cliff, and wow. And I had to lie down for half an hour to calm my Schwindelgefühle, how do you say, my nauseousness, nausea, you know, dizziness, just by looking down. Jai Gopal can jump from Mount Everest and land on the, hopefully not in his shoulder, but so on. But then there were some other devotees, and they jumped, and they said, it's very pleasant. There's fresh breeze under the armpits. And it's very you do it. And then one day, I remember, I went with Lokanath Maharaj and said, Lokanath Maharaj, why don't we jump together? I take your hand and you. He's, you know, like how he is. He's he smiles and he's ready to investigate everything, but then he will make up his mind. So we took him, he had a swimming glass, you know, on his eyes, you know, these dark eyes where you. These small things, you know. Turtles, yes. And we went. And he looked and said, you do. He said like this. And I thought, here's Lokanath Maharaj. They are all the acrobatic Croatian devotees. It's one time in my life where I will do this. Why? I'm a little crazy by nature. I jumped. And I went. Everything was very pleasant. There was fresh air. It took a long time, I remember. Then I had enough time to chant. It went very nice, no problem, no pain, and so on. But I only did this one time, but with Lokanath Maharaj next to me. Because if I die and I'm next to Lokanath Maharaj, no problem. But I will never do this again. There are some devotees who want to convince me to do an even bigger jump, but I'm not sure. So this is, I hope no one will just copy this part of the lecture and say, it was meant as an illustration to the leap of faith. The leap of faith, where you jump and do something which you ordinarily would not consider to do, was It can be done in association with devotees. And you know it yourself. You are on a Harinam party called Harinam Ruchis. These devotees, they are surrendering. They chant and dance the whole day. Just chanting and dancing. Each day of the year. Harinam Ruchi it's called? Harinam Ruchi party. In good weather, in bad weather, in Dresden and in Leipzig, everywhere. They go on the streets and just chant, and that's how they live. They have no money, but they travel all over the world because people give them. They have surrendered to the holy name, Harinam Sharan, they have done. And the holy name is protecting them. And I think that is possible in association with these devotees. So, you are now asking, I think you have in mind association with a spiritual master, or not necessarily.
Or is the higher quality of association higher. So we actually get that faith which such people have.
Yeah. I've written about this in that article, Guru Bhakti. You can study the article if you wish. It is written for this question. To have association of that higher nature, where that higher rati rasa, the Bhagavatam speaks. It means that taste of love comes in the heart. It is often said that this high association, which can give us this rati rasa, that's the word of the Bhagavatam, that is very rare to have. Therefore, Gauranga Mahaprabhu has appeared in the age of Kali as also the topmost sadhu. He has both. He has an achara, he has a leela of God, but he is also an acharya leela, the pastime of a teacher. And in this age of Kali, unfortunate souls who look for this higher association to get the higher things are advised by Jagadananda Pandit to associate with Lord Chaitanya through the chanting of the holy name. That medium is given. Why through? Because he can be contacted in Nam Sankirtan. And what I have personally experienced, now because I know you are a deep devotee and an advanced devotee, and you need a deeper level answer. I have struggled with this point very much. Where do I get that association which can give me that ultimately my rasa? Where is that possible? I have done mistakes on my search for this higher association. And my spiritual master is now no longer present here with us. And I am very much convinced, Ananta Gauranga, very much convinced that Gauranga Mahaprabhu has said before he left this world, you will associate with me in Kirtan. He said, this is how you can meet me. In Kirtan, I'm there where the Kirtan is. And Lord Nityananda proved it once. He did a Kirtan, and in that Kirtan, all of a sudden, there was a fragrance of a special flower which Mahaprabhu used to wear. It's called the Dhammanaka flower. It only grows in Puri. And everywhere the devotees would hear and would smell. My God, he's here, no? I smell his path, his flower. And he was there. he was really there. So in Mahaprabhu has promised this. He's not a liar. He knew there's this need of this higher association, and therefore he gave this. And in kirtan, when you consciously call on the Lord through the chanting of the holy name, you will find a higher association. What's the proof? You change. You know this when you sit for 6 hours in that boiling Radhadesh kirtans and you don't go, although your ego drives you out. No, this kirtan is not good. But you stay. Then something changes and you know it, you feel it, and no one in the world needs to tell you you have changed. It's a direct experience. It's on the hand. Everyone knows it, even the doubter. It does happen because you have that high association which transforms you. That is the power of the original Ananta, the unlimited Gauranga. That is his power. That is his promise. That is there. Therefore, I always say this: if you want to approach Krishna through the path of Sharanagati, start with this holy name. Become and join the group of chanters. By the way, join the Hare Krishna movement. Some of you have joined ISKCON, but now next step is join the Hare Krishna movement, a movement of chanters, of those who are dedicated to chanting, who have faith in that, although they are not perfect, but they approach the Lord they approach the Lord for shelter through his holy name. I'm very convinced of this, and I'm convinced of it. In the beginning I saw, you know, there are two reasons why someone takes shelter. The first is he knows there's no other shelter. And the second is he gives up the other shelters. No? So I could see in my own spiritual life that I was not going somewhere. I could really see that. It was really very, very clear to me that I was now even a guru, but I had these bad qualities in the heart still, which were there. And I was thinking, this is cheating, this is not good. And I also did not join for all of this. I want spiritual life, genuine spiritual life. And then I understood, I only have one way. Only one shelter, and that's the holy name, because that's what Prabhupada gave. And as I read on and on, I found, oh, it's the highest. I don't need anything else. This is my personal conviction. I mean, Gaura Hari has said it's my birthday today, and that's true. And I can also say something personal once a year. Well, I say it often, but this is really true. It's I think you look at me and you think, I want to believe, but no, it's really true. It's not a fake. It's really true. It's almost too good to be true because it's so simple. It's so doable also. I mean, everyone can sit down and not leave the kirtan. You just, maybe you have to put a chain around your legs or something, but it's possible. You can control yourself, or you can ask, you can say, you give, if I make it, you can give me 10 euros when I come out, you know. You can somehow stay with your restless mind and experience it. Better is, of course, you do it consciously, and you know, I'm just saying it like that. Good. I am a little bit, yes, Purushottam Krishna, and then our Mataji. I will go now fast, don't worry. I understand it's 10 o'clock, and
Yeah, thanks so very much for this amazing content. My question is about the spiritual dynamic, a psychological dynamic, which seems to occur like when a devotee reaches a peak moment in a way, like Arjuna. You mentioned Arjuna on the battlefield. So he was there, and Krishna prepared everything for this devotee to play his role, to be an instrument, and to be actually at its best as a warrior. And then the greatest obstacle came also at the same time. When the moment was there to begin, really, then the weakness in the heart overcame him and was the most devastating, embarrassing moment. So the moment when you're ready to go for it, seems like Krishna arranged it that the greatest unseen obstacle comes out, like the compassion for his enemies, which before that wasn't visible so much, but then it came out. Or another example would be the gopis who were at their best when they were dancing with Krishna, but then the obstacle came, the weakness of the heart, by feeling the most privileged, proud women in the universe because they can be with Krishna. And then the greatest crisis came, he withdrew, and they became mad about this. So how we deal with that kind of double dynamic of striving to be an instrument, and when something critical happens, in the same time the greatest weakness comes out and we face our greatest challenge.
What a wonderful question. Thank you. That shows a very nice thinking that you can ask such a question. You want to go, you're ready, you're convinced in your mind, and then the obstacle comes. The wall against which you have run for many lifetimes. At that time, when the obstacle comes, you need to take absolute shelter. And coming back to your example of the gopis, when Krishna left them, seeing that they were so prideful that they were the most fortunate to dance with Krishna, they searched for him everywhere, and finally they knew Krishna didn't want to be found by them, so they returned to the wide scent of the Yamuna, which was illuminated by the rays of the full moon, and they sat down and they just chanted the names of Krishna. And I believe that we will all come to this stage. We will go and want to do something, and then something unexpected appears on our way, some obstacle. And at that time, we begin to understand we cannot do it on our own. It's not possible. Now we need to stop everything else and chant. This is what the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, since ancient times up to modern times, teach us. When nothing works, sit down and chant. Take your beads, or be in a kirtan and just take and chant, maybe for the first time in your life, by taking chanting and taking full shelter in Krishna. It's called Nama Shraya, the shelter of the holy name. Maybe the first time in your life you will chant. What a wonderful question. This is what all devotees do. This is what Prabhupada advised. I have a tape somewhere. I think I know even. I hope it's still there. It is devotees who went on the path of Krishna consciousness apparently developed a deep, deep crisis. And then they had lost their faith in our movement and they wanted to leave. It was a deep crisis. I couldn't really their voices were very distressed, but the tape doesn't tell their history. I mean, it's just, you hear Prabhupada at one stage in the tape, it was never released, the tape. You hear him saying, now you must simply go and sit in the temple and chant the holy name and take shelter at the lotus feet of the deities there. Just do this and everything will be alright. And that's the beginning, that's the middle and the end of the process. it is known at work. Also, when your life becomes unmanageable, you could take, turn it into your greatest fortune by doing what some devotees have done. They stopped everything, all this complicated life, every day, so many messages on the mobile monster, the time stealer, the mobile phone, and so much this, so much misunderstanding, and you don't know how to pull out of it any longer, because whatever you say will be taken wrongly and unmanageable. Sit down and take shelter and chant. Maybe what some devotees did, and I can only recommend it, they just left the place where they are, because the places are so much full with mental energy and things to do, and took shelter. There are a few devotees who have taken shelter in the guest house here in Goloka Dham. We have rooms. One can go in the rooms. I mean, it is requested that some minimal Lakshmi is given, very, very good. And they are there for a week and just chant and read, and then they come out glowing again. Murali, ne?
I just want to understand more about Krishna's kindness. How that initial surrender can be so important that we will, for eternity, consider that devotee. Yeah. Yeah. I just cannot understand.
Yes, thank you, mm-hmm. Thank you. Murali, it is just like you. I know I know Murali since a long time, a wonderful devotee, and when I read this verse, obviously a few times in my life, and I was about one time only, and he takes full charge. But I found this in different Vaishnava writings. It's not just in this verse, it seems. So how do we understand it? And I believe last year in Vrindavan, there was a lecture in our Govardhan retreat. I think Burijan Prabhu gave the lecture, and he quoted a section, a purport from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commented on this Leela, the Kaliya Damana Leela, you know, where Kaliya tried to bite Krishna with his thousands of hoots, and Krishna danced on his hoots and made him practically into a great devotee, you know. There, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, it says, Krishna does not see the mistakes of his devotees. He doesn't see the faults of his devotees, but only what is good. And Sanatana Goswami writes an amazing commentary. He says, Kaliya jumped at Krishna to crush him in his deadly coils, his deadly embrace. And Krishna stayed for 2 muhurtas, that's 48 minutes, in this embrace. And he took it very positively. He thought,
If someone likes someone a little bit, he will embrace him for a short time. But if he likes him very much, he will embrace him for a long time. This Kaliya is already embracing me for 48 minutes. He's a great devotee. Kaliya had another mind. You know, he suddenly didn't. He wanted to crush Krishna. Soft body. But Krishna doesn't see the mistakes. He has a different mind than us, you know. We see all the, and you all, and us, of all my mistakes. Oh, I'm really so bad. Ooh. If anyone would know what I do and what I think. You know, we think really bad of us because we see our mistakes. We have to live with our mistakes even. But Krishna sees only the good. And Prabhupada, when he would talk about us, he would say, my disciples are all pure devotees. Oh, really? And we would think, I'm certainly not. But he had that vision because, see, this is from the spiritual perspective. They understand, Krishna understands, and the great devotees understand. Yes, they are conditioned souls and they have all the symptoms of the conditioned soul, but they are trying. They're trying. They're giving their best, fighting with the obstacles in their journey of life. They are trying. And from their perspective, they see this and make it magnify it. There's a verse by Rupa Goswami who says this. Rupa Goswami says, you take even the slightest service of your devotee and magnify it, make it as big as Mountain Meru. It's a big mountain. And even if you see if the devotee abuses you, says bad things about you, you see it as a little insignificant drop. Who could not surrender to such a Lord? He says, Rupa Goswami says like this. He is the Lord, our Lord is the Lord of love, kindness. I like this in Syamananda's play yesterday, where the bum said, I'm a God fearing Irishman. And then it came back. You are only need to fear God if you are a criminal. But if you're good, then God is your friend. And, you know, God is the best friend. Friend? He abandoned me. No, you abandoned him. It was the other way around. It was very nice, deep points in the dialogue. There was really a dialogue happening. Yes, Krishna doesn't see our mistakes. That doesn't mean we should commit our mistakes. We should give them up, but it means this is how he thinks. He is a different type of thinking. Hare Krishna. I will now end here. Thank you very much, Guru Hari. I believe you will tell us how to go on. Would you like the microphone? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaura Nitai ki jai, Lord Nityananda Ra.